But for now, let's turn in our Bibles to the book of James. And this morning, we are going to go to James chapter 1, verse 19 through 25. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 25. I will have those words up here on the screen. Please follow along with me in your Bibles. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. 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 For those who are able, please stand and let's hear the word of God here this morning. Starting in chapter 1, verse number 19. The word of God says this: "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does." We'll stop there. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, all of your scripture is rich and for the use of training and correcting and rebuking and for the man and woman of God. And this is more of your scripture we're reading here today. We want to learn more things from this, Lord. So what is it that you have in store for us? We just ask, Lord, that that these words of your scriptures and these verses change us in some way, to mold us more into Christ-likeness. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated here this morning. Actually, I have enjoyed using my iPad here for the reading instead of the papers. Today, we continue in our expository study of this book of James, and this is our eighth week. I've titled today's message, "Doers of the Word," the exact words that James uses in chapter 1, verse number 22. For this morning's scripture text, you may have noticed that I included three verses, 19 through 21, and we discussed those verses last week. But I wanted to include them here today because I wanted to use the context of those three verses, 19 through 21, to help establish the truths that James is now giving us and teaching us in verses 22 through 25. Last week, we talked about anger because James talked about the anger of man in verse number 20. The anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. We said that this anger could have been personal anger. Personal anger, we kind of define that as the type of anger that we generate when we personally have been offended. And I gave four examples last week, and one of the examples that I gave was when I pick up the phone and it's someone, a telemarketer, who wants to sell me extended warranty on my car or send me Medicare supplemental insurance. And that kind of makes me angry, but talking with Miss Kay this morning, she loves talking with those people because she asked them for their
credit card
number. Yes. So I guess there's only three things now that make me angry. But I don't think James was speaking about personal anger in those verses. Looking at the whole context of chapter 1, and that's the way we need to look at it, I think the anger that James is speaking about was what we defined last week as unrighteous anger. What is unrighteous anger? Well, I defined it as that's when we get angry because and when we either do not properly understand the Word of God or we disagree with the Word of God. And we know this from verse 13. The brethren were blaming God for tempting them and causing them to sin, when very possibly could have resulted in these brethren having unrighteous anger. How could God make me do that? Well, James had to set them right and tell them, God doesn't do that. He cannot tempt you to do that. There was something about the truth, though, of the Word of God that these brethren just didn't get. And that's what we're going to talk about here this morning. So this morning, I want to look at this thing and continue on this context of unrighteous anger. So let's look at it three ways. Here's the question that we're going to ask. Why might a person have unrighteous anger? We're going to look at it, and we're going to answer three questions this morning. Question number one, are we being taught the truth? Question number two, are we listening to the truth? And question number three, are we doing what it says? We'll talk about all three of those. So let's look at the first question first. The first question that I have is this. Are we being taught the truth? So let me give you, for all three of these questions, I'm going to give a hypothetical example. So the example for this one would be this. The preacher of a congregation tells the congregation, he's up there preaching, and he says this, Jesus Christ is not the only way unto salvation. He says this, all paths lead to God. Well, the congregation, they trust their preacher and they believe what he says and they believe that to be truth because that's what he is teaching. Now, we all know here at Beech Grove Church that is a false statement. Amen? We know that. Jesus Christ is the only way unto salvation. And that is a gospel requirement. We cannot believe that there are other ways or other paths because that would be a false gospel. But if someone like us, who knows the truth, challenges any one of these deceived people on this issue, they may or will have unrighteous anger. Why? Because they want to defend what they believe is true, what their preacher taught them. But the reality is, in this example, we know that they have not been told the truth. And I've been saying this for 15 years now. The truth matters. So we want to make sure we get that right. So let's make a conclusion from this first example. A person can have righteous anger when we are defending the truth of God's word. We talked about that. And it's okay to have righteous anger. But a person can have unrighteous anger when they are defending false doctrine. And the brethren in James's letter were accusing God of tempting them into sin. And that is why, I'm going to put this verse back up here, and that is false doctrine which led them into the anger of man. And James clearly says, hey guys, the anger of man does not lead to the righteousness of God. So we have three fill in the blanks in our bulletin here this morning. Let's go to the first one. Each one of these questions that we're going to answer them in our bulletin. So question number one, why might one have unrighteous anger? Answer, they have not been taught the truth. It's really that simple. Some people have not been taught the truth. There are many churches out there, folks, that are not teaching the truth of God's word. But have you ever noticed that the people who get upset the most over doctrinal differences are those who are usually on the side of error? Because when you're on the side of truth, it's easy to remain calm. Because we know what we have on our side. We have the Word of God. Let's move on to number two. Number two, the second question is this. Are we listening to the truth? So let me give you another example. The preacher stands in front of his congregation and tells the congregation that Jesus Christ is the only way unto salvation. No one gets to the Father except through Jesus Christ. Now we know this. The preacher is speaking the truth to his congregation. But not everyone is listening. There's one lady who is sitting in her pew, and her mind is occupied with other things. Where should I go for lunch after the service today? Did I unplug the coffee pot? I think there's a new Hallmark movie on tonight. And it's starring Candace Cameron Bure. Is it time to sing that final hymn yet? And are we going to sing all four verses or just two? And will Mike ever quit preaching? In this example, we know that truth is being taught. The preacher told the congregation Jesus Christ is the only way. But if someone like us, who knows the truth, challenges this one particular inattentive lady on this issue, she may or will have unrighteous anger because she wants to defend what she believes is true. And the only person that she has ever heard speak on this issue is Oprah Winfrey, who believes that all paths lead to God. So that's the stand that this particular lady is going to take because she was not listening. So the conclusion we can derive from this second example. Again, a person can have righteous anger when we defend the truth of the scriptures. But a person can have unrighteous anger when they defend what they don't know. I have a whole family of people living back in Pittsburgh who want to defend what they don't know. Some people are just not listening when the truth is being taught. And James tells the brethren in this letter, he says this, hey brethren, be quick to hear. Listen guys, you need to be quick to hear. I'm going to interpret that as saying, listen guys, when the preacher's preaching, you need to pay attention to what's being taught. Possibility number two, and this is our next fill in the blank. Why might one have unrighteous anger? Very simple. They are not listening to the truth. Have you ever noticed that the people who get upset the most over doctrinal issues are usually those who do not know and understand the truth? But when you're on the side of truth, it's easy to remain calm because we always have the scriptures to defend us. Let's go to example number three. And the question was this. Are we doing what it says? A third and final example. The preacher standing in front of his church and he has a very large congregation of all ages, young and old. And he tells the congregation that it is wrong and it is sinful to cohabitate and have sex before marriage. He even puts this verse up there on the screen. He says this from Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. We know this in this example. The preacher, once again, is speaking truth. And this time, everybody in the congregation is listening. But there is one young man sitting out there in the congregation who doesn't agree with the preacher. Why? Because he is in that situation, and he thinks that he would rather be like the culture than obey the word of God. This young man thinks the preacher just needs to get with the times. Come on, preacher, get with the times. In this particular example, we know that the truth is being taught. But if someone like us, who knows the truth, challenges this one young man in this example on this issue, he may or will have unrighteous anger. Why? Because he wants to defend his sinful position and his sinful actions. To this young man, being disobedient outweighs any consequences that judgment may happen later on. This man likes to pick and choose his own truth from the Word of God rather than what the Word of God clearly teaches. In other words, this man is doing a eisegesis, a word we talked about before. Let's make the scriptures say what we want the scriptures to say. Of course it's okay for me to do what I am doing. The conclusion, a person has, once again, righteous anger when we defend the truth. But a person can have unrighteous anger when they want to defend their own sinful actions. Some people just don't like what this book says. Amen? They don't. And James tells the brethren this. He says this, hey guys, prove yourselves doers of the word. Prove yourself doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. Let's go to our third and final fill in the blank in our bulletin. Why might one have unrighteous anger? Answer, they do not want to obey the truth. It's really that simple. Have you ever noticed that the people who get upset the most over doctrinal differences are those who sometimes love their sinful ways? But when you're on the side of truth, it's easy to remain calm because you have the scriptures to defend your position. Now, I'm going to bring this down to a personal level. It's not unusual for my wife to say to me, Michael, didn't you hear what I just said? Now, I'm sure all of you husbands out there have never heard that before, but I have. So what does my wife mean when she says that? It means she's speaking and I'm not giving her a proper response. Another example. Michael, will you take down the trash and put it outside in the cans? Yes, dear. 5 hours later. Michael, I thought I asked you to take down the trash. Were you not listening? So let's take my example that I just gave there, which is a true example, and let's look at what we just talked about. All those responses. Response number one, was she speaking the truth? Of course she was speaking the truth. The trash was there. The trash needed to be taken down. So I have no reason to not believe her. Number two, maybe I just wasn't listening. Oh, but I was listening. I heard every word that she said. I did. How about possibility number three? I disagreed with her command. Well, I didn't disagree with her command. She spoke the truth. Mikey was listening, and I didn't disagree with what she asked me to do. I just didn't do it because I just didn't want to do it. And that's the situation that James is facing right here. These people were being taught the truth. Were they not listening, or did they just not agree with the truths that were being taught? Or did they just not want to be obedient to it? Whatever their excuse, James says this: it's not good enough, guys. It's not good enough. So James tells them that if they hear the word of God and if they don't do what it says that they are deluding themselves. So let's go to Webster. What does it mean to delude ourselves? I have that definition on the inside of your bulletin, top right-hand corner. It's also up here on the screen. What does it mean to delude ourselves? To mislead the mind or judgment of. James is saying this. He's telling the brethren that if you don't do what the word says, you are being misled and your judgment is off, guys. Your judgment is off. You got four choices. You can believe Satan. You can believe the world. You can believe yourself. Or you can believe the word of God. Which one is it going to be, brethren? So he gives them all this. But he ends in verse 25 with good news. And I want to end this morning with good news. There is a reward for obeying the word of God, for being a doer of the word of God. Verse 25. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. So let me ask all of us in here, do we want to have a blessed life? Yes, I do. I want to have a blessed life. Well, then it's very simple. James tells us this: do what it says. Do what it says. If we look at it this way, you do what it says, you get blessed. You don't do what it says, you don't get blessed. It's really that simple. James is saying this: don't just hear what the word says, do what it says. Listen to the truth, obey the truth. Remember, I said this last week, the truth will usually make you angry before it'll ever set you free. And remember too, that you and I, we are not the authors of truth. And 21st century America is not the author of truth. There's only one author of truth, and that would be God and not us. So it can't be our rules or the world's rules. It's God's rules. It's his book. He defines what truth is. And a blessed life does not mean that your health is going to be perfect all the time. And it does not mean that you're not going to have some troubles with your finances. And it doesn't mean that your car is never going to break down. And it does not mean a life of health, wealth, and prosperity, as some preachers would want to tell you. It does mean this. It does mean that God will show his favor to you and I and the doers of the word in some way. And I don't know what that way is. The way it is for you is going to be different than the way it is for me, different from her, different from him. It's going to be different for all of us. But he is going to bless us in some way. When we go from being just hearers of the word to being doers of the word. Beach Grove, let's be doers of the word. Because, I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer here this morning.